Marcus Rashford enjoyed his breakthrough night for Barcelona by stunning Newcastle at St James's Park. Erling Haaland makes competition history for Manchester City in a victory over Napoli, while Sporting, Club Brugge and Frankfurt claimed huge wins. Join us to review the rarest of things, a Thursday night's worth of action in the UEFA Champions League. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly, where Marcus Rashford right now is walking across the pitch at St James's Park, shaking the hands of Newcastle players with a beaming smile across his face, because European football expert Chris Parrott, he scored the two goals that has secured a 2-1 win at Newcastle.
And his first two goals for the mighty Barcelona as well. Wonderful night for him, under the lights, back in England, of course. And really, he was the difference. It was a very even goal. First, as he's handed the official UEFA Player of the Match trophy as I speak, first instinctive header. The second, it will be, I'm sure, one of the strikes of this season in the UEFA Champions League. I know I'm saying that on match week one, but it was that good. It kissed the crossbar. It was a thing of beauty. And he was a difference maker for Barcelona.
Lots to get our teeth into tonight. A reminder of the results from Thursday night. Club Brugge 4, Monaco 1. Copenhagen 2, Bayer Leverkusen 2. Eintracht Frankfurt 5, Galatasaray 1. Sporting 4, Kairat Almaty 1. And Manchester City 2, Napoli 0 upon Kevin De Bruyne's return to his former club. But we start our review at St James's Park. Newcastle returned to the Champions League after a season away. Barca, the aforementioned visitors. Chris was watching this for Matchday Live alongside commentator John Bradley.
Elanga on the right-hand side, driving for the byline. Crossing, chance, Anthony Gordon misses his kick. Oh, he was only 6 metres out. What a chance for Newcastle. He just couldn't quite make contact. There's a ball for Elanga. He's electrifying with his pace. He's broken the offside trap. Ball's arriving! And Juan Garcia gets across his goal and makes an outstanding save. Big, big moment. Big, big save by the Barcelona stopper. Ball back to De Jong, now Koundé. Barnes in his way, there's his cross. Free header goal! Out of nothing for Barcelona, and Marcus Rashford has returned to England and sealed it with a headed goal to silence St James's Park. Picked on by Rashford, he's going to get the ball back, he's the Englishman, and up towards the edge of the penalty area. Shoots right footed, oh my goodness! That's as explosive a goal as you'll see. And Barcelona have two. And Marcus Rashford has two.
Well, it's the night that he has really come alive in a Barcelona shirt. That is as good a strike, as pure a strike, as we might see all season in this grand old competition. It was fantastic.
Well, here come Newcastle. They're not giving up yet. Murphy's ball. Gordon! That's one back. It's come in the last minute of the game. It's come from Anthony Gordon. And Newcastle do find a way through. And maybe, just maybe, they're not done yet. That was a goal of the highest calibre.
But they were one short of the complete comeback in the end. Barcelona the victors by 2-1. But Newcastle were really threatening in that first half, John.
Yeah, I think the pattern of the game followed everything that Barcelona probably would have expected. When Hansi Flick had his team meeting probably a little earlier in the day, like they tend to, and then they go off to do their own thing and have a rest, and then the last thing he would have said to them in that dressing room before they came out at St James's Park is, be prepared, because they are going to come at you very, very quickly, very, very early in the game. Newcastle are very fast, they're very direct, and they really want to strike fear into you early with that passionate St James's Park crowd behind them. And they did just that, and they got off to a really good start. And I think the biggest piece of praise you can give Barcelona is that they were unfazed by it. They were very well led by Ronald Araujo at the heart of the defence. Pau Cubarsí, he plays like a veteran now, even at his tender age. But I think that Pedri and De Jong in front held them very well. And whilst there were a couple of chances for Newcastle, they did tend to keep them at arm's length. And after about 20, 25 minutes, Barcelona then just sort of went, right, OK, we've got through this difficult period. We're going to get on the ball now and we're going to start to dictate. And they started to control the game and control possession. And whilst they weren't actually creating that much, they were then dictating the pace and the pattern of the game, which Newcastle didn't want to happen. And I thought that the way they grew into the game was another example of how this Barcelona team is maturing. And we know they went so close last year going to the semi-final, and now they're a year older, and to come to Newcastle, a really tough place to come. Remember, Paris Saint-Germain came here and ended up on the wrong side of a result a couple of seasons ago when Paris was so strong. This is a fantastic away result, and I think a perfect away performance from Barcelona
sets them up very nicely because they host the defending champions Paris next. It was a very tricky start to this season's league phase for Barcelona on paper. Eddie Howe will look back at the two chances, I think, during that fast start. Anthony Langer was terrific on the right wing, picked out Anthony Gordon, who had an opportunity, couldn't make the right connection, then picked out Harvey Barnes, who did make good connection, and Joan Garcia made a really good save. If they go in, it's a different story for Newcastle, but in those moments, Barcelona showed collectively and individually how good they can be defensively, and we know that they score in normally every game. So if you marry those two together, that is a formidable force that Barca are going to be this season again.
Well, we all saw the footage. We've seen it over the past few days of the game 28 years ago, the first meeting of these clubs at St James's Park, that famous night, 1997, Faustino Asprilla with a hat-trick and a 3-2 win against Barcelona. And the atmosphere kind of mirrored that. It really seemed very similar, actually, tonight. But, Chris, how did Barcelona establish control? How did they work their goals in the second half?
They established control through Frenkie de Jong and Pedri.
They're outstanding, aren't
they?
Those two.
They were. Marcus Rashford will rightly win the headlines, and we'll talk about him a lot in a moment. But those two in central midfield dictated the tempo, played almost double the amount of passes, I think, as anybody else on the pitch. But it wasn't just that. They were passes with purpose as well. And even when Newcastle got one back very late on, there was still 7 minutes of additional time. Even in that period, again, they just got on the ball.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the ball, you can't score.
Is that all the more impressive, John, given the industry that you were highlighting pre-match in that Newcastle United midfield?
That's what I was going to say. They are physically imposing. I mean, they're also very, very talented. Bruno's a great leader for this Newcastle side. Sandro Tonali, a wonderful footballer. Joel Linton's all action, all energy. So you've got three against two in there. I know Firmin was dropping in to help out where he could. Pedri just goes about his business in such an unfussy way and does it all with that level of composure and that level of panache. And Frenkie de Jong, that was a masterclass of a performance in there tonight from those two.
His return was a big boost this evening for Hansi Flick, de Jong. But I think with Pedri, last season was his return after a number of campaigns when we were all shorn of seeing one of the best midfielders of his generation, potentially, and he's still only 22. And you can be sure that Barcelona fans and Newcastle fans leaving St James's Park will all know they watch someone very, very special in the Spanish central midfielder.
I think the great thing as well about this Barcelona performance tonight is over the last 12 months, however long, maybe a little bit longer now, of course, we've looked at every Barcelona game and looked at Lamine Yamal, and we've looked at what he brings to their side and the fact that he's their outball, the fact that he creates something out of nothing. And he wasn't involved tonight, of course, having been injured. Rashford's the new player who's been added to that, and a player of great quality, and we've seen what he's done nationally and internationally down the years, and the highest compliment you could say is, well, they didn't miss Lamine Yamal, and they can't wait to have him back. But you know what great options they've got, and Hansi Flick spoke last year about having more options and more strength in depth when it comes to the real business end of the competition. he's got that now. You look at the players that he brought on tonight, when he can bring on Dani Olmo, and he can bring on Ferran, and he can bring on the players like, and he's still Casado got Yamal to come back, Casado, players like that. So, yeah, that, you know, there aren't going to be too many people when you talk about potential winners of this competition who are saying Barcelona aren't amongst them.
Well, let's talk about a special night for Marcus Rashford. You know, a scriptwriter's dream, really, the England international yet to score. He scored for his country earlier on this month against Serbia, but to score those two goals, it was a perfect night for him.
It was, and you know, Robert Lewandowski was on the pitch, one of the greatest UEFA Champions League goal scorers of all time. And I think that the highest praise you can give him is both finishes were quite Lewandowski-ish. They were proper centre-forward finishes. The first was a header when he got across his marker from a fairly innocuous ball in, but Rashford was there, long way out. Power on the header was superb beyond Nick Pope. And then the second, I mean, you heard it in the commentary from John. It just went off his right foot like a rocket.
We're just seeing it now on our monitors. Even the way he shifts away from Sandro Tonali.
It's amazing. Absolutely. And he shifts across it, which gives him the angle to cut across it, to give him that extra bit of power. Lewandowski is there. Once it goes beyond him, he's already celebrating. He knows it's in. and the fact it kisses the crossbar only adds to the glamour of it, really. It's a goal that Marcus Rashford will be very proud of, and rightly so.
Do you know what I loved as well is how delighted his teammates were for him when
absolutely.
He scored. You could see, and there was a little nod from Lewandowski after he scored the second goal, which we talked about Lewandowski celebrating as soon as he hit it. He knew it was going in as soon as it left his foot, and it was like just a little nod as if to say, yeah, you'll do for me, you'll do for us, you know, welcome aboard, because he's got a big part to play for Barcelona. And you know, what a way to announce himself coming back to England and scoring a couple of... I mean, the first goal is a poacher's goal. And early on in his career, he made his name doing that, you know, nicking in and scoring goals. But we also know he's capable of the quite brilliant as well. And we won't see a goal struck better this year in this competition than what Marcus Rashford has hit at St James's Park. There's just nothing that any goalkeeper in the world could have done about that.
Let's hear from Barcelona's head coach on the goal scorer, Hansi Flick.
For me, Marcus is... I think these two goals, I think it helps a lot, to get the next step, because it's so important that he have the confidence, that he feel okay, he's important and he can do it, and I think these goals are unbelievable for him for the next steps.
Hansi Flick on the official player of the match as well. No surprise there. Marcus Rashford, the star in England's northeast. Next, we head to the northwest. Manchester City, 2-0 winners over Napoli. Erling Haaland was brought down through on goal by Napoli captain Giovanni Di Lorenzo on 21 minutes. Red card wasn't given in real time. It was after a VAR check. Kevin De Bruyne, then back on his return at City, was withdrawn to add defensive reinforcement with the substitution after Matias Oliveira was brought on. Rasmus Højlund and Scott McTominay and back against Premier League opposition, but City established control in the second half. Doku got the second goal, 65 minutes, left side of the box, broke past a couple of players and rolled it underneath the informed Vanya Milinkovic-Savic. But the opener came 11 minutes after half-time. A sumptuous flick, a scoop from Phil Foden in the tightest of areas on the edge of the box, just central towards the penalty spot. Erling Haaland didn't wait for it to bounce. He just flicked it goalwards with his head. Foden's been speaking about that special moment.
First half was a bit frustrating. I wasn't getting many touches in between the lines due to how well they was keeping tight together in the midfield. But I knew second half, once the game opened up a little bit, there'll be that one or two chances where I can maybe turn on the ball. And I managed to turn on the ball, and something I've been working on in training. Erling's always going to make that run. I already know he's there before I even play the ball. So, yeah, it's just about getting that connection and trying to do it again now. And hopefully he can score more goals and hopefully I can assist.
Yeah, it was super inventive, and tonight, Chris, Erling Haaland makes some history.
50th Champions League goal in 49 games. I mean, it's ridiculous, really. It's Erling Haaland, so you're used to it, but it doesn't change the stat being so good. Fastest player to reach that tally, 13 fewer than Manchester United's Ruud van Nistelrooy. And I've seen the goal since full-time at St James's Park, Robin. if there's any team with 10 men that you would back to be set up brilliantly defensively, it would be an Antonio Conte team, right? Yeah. So City needed something like that, and they needed that little spark from Foden, and even the finish, the instinctive flick from Haaland. And when you have quality like that, you can break down even the best defensive units, who would be so well drilled as Napoli are under Conte.
Gianluigi Donnarumma keeping a clean sheet, the Italian international number one against Italian opposition. Good few days for Pep Guardiola, Chris, after the win in the Manchester derby.
Yeah, and you saw the hunger after their win in the English Premier League. Of course, last season, by where they had been before, they didn't reach the latter stages of the UEFA Champions League. You sense it has only added to that burn of desire to get back there and reclaim their crown from a few years ago. And with Foden and Haaland, and now that, you know, not just the quality of Donnarumma, the experience, and I think at the back end of this competition, if they reach it, the sheer physical presence of him, and of course his penalty saving ability, which we know, they are a formidable force. And I think what we've seen last season, some big sides missed out on the top eight. Manchester City and Real Madrid were two of them. They ran into each other in the knockout phase playoffs.
That's right, yeah.
And City exited the competition. I'm sure that, I mean, everybody, but including the biggest clubs with the favourites tags, they are going to make sure, they're going to do everything at least in their powers to reach the top eight. And I just wonder if that's why we've seen that type of club start so well this season, having seen for the first time last campaign in the league phase what can happen if you don't get off to the best start.
Player of the match was Phil Foden. City face Monaco next in the Principality on match day 2. Napoli welcome Sporting. We're going to get to them very shortly. Eintracht Frankfurt, what a win. They went 1-0 down to Galatasaray at home in Germany. Both of these clubs returning to the Champions League after being in the Europa League last season. But the early goal from Yunus Akgün was cancelled out 8 minutes prior to half-time. An unfortunate own goal for Davinson Sanchez. Can Özcan and Jonathan Burkhardt, essentially the replacement for Liverpool's Hugo Ekitike up front, scoring for 3-1. Both those goals in first half added time. Burkhardt got a second, another header, before familiar winger Angsar Canal Frandu, the goalkeeper, for 5. And the atmosphere kind of matched the level of performance, Chris, in Germany too.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen through Eintracht Frankfurt that run all the way to the Europa League success, what that can bring. Nice story when you have the son of a Champions League final coach, Klaus Topmuller, all those years ago with Leverkusen. And Dino he's a very exciting coach, I think. Kind of in the modern era now, where maybe you don't have an elite level career and then become a coach or an assistant young, work your way through, get a big opportunity like Eintracht Frankfurt. And I think they will surprise a few. And like anyone who is on 3 points, and I think they currently sit top of the incredibly early
they
league
do,
table.
Yes. Yeah.
All of a sudden you start plotting, okay, if we win one more, we're not too far away from a top 24 spot. You can't help yourself as a fan anyway. Yeah.
Atletico away is Frankfurt's next test. Galatasaray, meanwhile, host Liverpool, who got off to that winning start. Elsewhere, there was a competition debut for Khairat Almaty of Kazakhstan, the second team from that country to compete in the UEFA Champions League. They were holding their own pretty well, especially after their goalkeeper, Shirhan Kalmurza, saved a penalty for Morten Hjulmand roughly 21 minutes into the game. But just before halftime, Francisco Trincao scored the first of two wonderful top corner goals with his left foot. Alisson Santos scored not long after that. There was a flurry of strikes. Giovanni Quenda dribbled his way into the box on the right wing to make it 4. Khairat did get their first Champions League goal in the competition proper. It was their 5th away game of the season in the competition, by the way, after that long run in qualifying, which included victory over Celtic. And what a volley from Ed Milson across on the right hand side from Ricardinho to pick him out. They got their goal, Chris, but Sporting showing their quality.
Yeah, and listen, when you lose a player of Viktor Gyökeres's talents and all the goals he scored, I think on opening night to score 4 will give them great confidence that, you know, okay, he's no longer here. The strength of the collective, some of the players we've brought in do have, you know, the quality for us to be able to compete. And it's a brilliant start for Kairat now. They've had such a sensational run, and they have Real Madrid at home. So that will soften the blow, because the record 15-time winners coming to that part of Kazakhstan is going to be a night which they will talk about, and anyone lucky enough to be there will remember for all of their days, frankly.
Tuesday the 30th of September, that game. Sporting go to Napoli the day after. Still to come on the podcast, we'll look back on Thursday's two remaining games.
Take control of your own team of stars with UEFA Champions League Fantasy Football, presented by PlayStation. With incredible prizes up for grabs every match day, download the official Champions League app to get playing.
So 2 weeks to make changes to your team ahead of match day two, and as you heard, it's never too late to start playing. Right, let's focus on the two early kickoffs on Thursday in the Champions League. An impressive start to action for Club Brugge against Monaco. 4-1 it finished at the Jan Breydel Stadion. At the stadium for UEFA this evening was Brecht Schelstraeter, and earlier I caught up with him as he reflected on another strong performance from the Belgians in the Champions League.
It's not at all a surprise, I think, if you see the results they had last year. The result in the playoffs, they beat Rangers 6-0 here. The expectation for Club Brugge this season is really to continue growing in this Champions League and to just prove that they're just here, because they deserve it. Last year they did so well. Before, they did a marvelous Conference League campaign as well. Yeah, it's just the best Belgian team in Europe for the moment, and they prove it. And their ambition, just to play every game like they did tonight. Their style is defending by attacking, playing forward and creating chances. And they could have scored 7-8 goals tonight. It's amazing.
Brecht, we saw you talking about in the UEFA Match Centre the fact that the youth pitch is next to the stadium and just how important it is to this team to have homegrown players in it.
It's the key to success for Club Brugge, for sure. If you see that the defence, the four defenders, they're homegrown players. Mechelen, Spileers, you had Ordóñez, who arrived in Bruges when he was 17. So, but he did the academy, the end of the academy as well. Then the wingbacks, Cés, Sabbe, they already play for Bruges from the age of 6, 7, 8 years old. They were born here, let's say. So that gives an extra dimension to this team. You can feel it in the stadium that the crowd identifies itself with the team.
Brecht, great insight as always. Thanks for coming on.
You're welcome. Enjoy. Bye.
Brecht Schelstraeter there speaking to me earlier on tonight. Club Brugge face a trip to Bergamo. They take on Atalanta on Tuesday of match day two. Hans van Aken amongst the scorers, the player of the match. A precious point secured for both teams at Parken tonight in Denmark as it finished Copenhagen 2, Bayer Leverkusen 2. We can hear now from the player of the match, Copenhagen's Jordan Larsen. He spoke to UEFA's Sture Sando about scoring his first Champions League goal.
It's a dream come true. I had the chance of playing Champions League 2 seasons ago. I was unfortunate to miss a penalty at Old Trafford. So to be here 2 years later and score in the first game is a bit of revenge. And like I said, a dream come true. As a kid, I always dreamt of playing in the Champions League, and scoring here today was a big dream come true. And hopefully I can continue to score more goals and show myself in the coming games.
And how do you experience the atmosphere in here tonight and a European night in Copenhagen and with your family as well here?
No, but it's electric. We people here in Copenhagen know how special the nights here are, but maybe the people outside aren't really aware of it until they come here and experience it. It means everything to us. It gives us the extra motivation that we need to push through the whole game. And we are really thankful for our fans and the way they carry us through the game.
Jordan Larsen speaking to our very own reporter Sture Sando there. Copenhagen travelled to Karabag on match day two, while tonight's opponents, Bayer Leverkusen, will face PSV Eindhoven. Not long to wait until match day two, in fact, as the Champions League returns on Tuesday the 30th of September, that's just 12 days' time, and Wednesday the 1st of October. To John and Chris with me, let's take a quick look at the standout fixtures for both nights, starting with Tuesday. We've already discussed the brilliant game between Kara Almaty and Real Madrid to come. But John, why not start with a match you no doubt will be covering, Galatasaray versus Liverpool, who edged past Atletico the other night.
Yes, Liverpool will be hoping that they can get a victory in 90 minutes. they've had every game they've played, I think 83 minutes and beyond, they've got a winner. Tough trip to the new Ali Sami Yen. Galatasaray, of course, will be desperate to put on a performance for their fans there after match day one. Liverpool, obviously one of the favourites for the competition. Alexander Isak making his debut for the club as well, another game in. So really intriguing match, but I think not. Yeah, really tough game for them.
And Chris, Chelsea Benfica takes on new significance.
Yes, Jose Mourinho is back at Stamford Bridge, of course, having taken over at Benfica today. I'm probably still Chelsea's greatest ever manager if you speak to most of
you are
it did sound like that actually.
2004 to 2007, which seems like yesterday when he came and said I'm the special one, and he was in terms of what he won. It's 10 years since he last departed his second spell, and given he's been to Manchester United and Tottenham, two of Chelsea's domestic rivals, and he'll still go back there and get a hero's reception as he comes out, shows what he achieved there, what legacy he's left there. And don't you just love football when these fixtures pop up? First Champions League game at Benfica.
Perfect.
Doesn't he still have that great aura about him as well?
He does.
He'll be great value ahead of the game as well. I'm sure we'll hear from him on Match Day Live on Wednesday. Barcelona, Paris Saint-Germain, not bad at all. For a full rundown of the games for Match Day 2, make sure to download the official app or visit the website. Let's quickly turn our attention back to tonight and Barcelona's aforementioned win at St James's Park. Let's hear from Newcastle's goal scorer, Anthony Gordon.
Yeah, I think we can be proud of how we played. You know, we give it our very best. Like I said, they're top three teams on the planet at the minute, and one of the hardest shots you'll ever play against. So we done really well. I didn't think there was much in the game at all. I thought, like I said, I thought we actually had the better moments. We just got to put them away.
Yeah, they had their chances on the night, didn't they, the Magpies? And to City's victory over Napoli, it finished 2-0 in the end against the 10-man Italians. Here's Pep Guardiola speaking as well.
Oh, the Italian team's unbelievable. I've been in Champions League many times and against Italian teams, even 10-11, I was not able to break it. So the resilience and the focus and it's so, so tough. I admire them a lot. So I'm not able, as a manager, I'm not able to do my team. It's just in case of 10 men to have the resilience and every ball, defend a 2-against-1 and helps and be close and defend the crosses, defend the blocks. And they are really, really good. So it's in DNA from Italian teams. Of course, Antonio is a partner just for many, many other things. Of course, this one is an incredible, incredible one.
Pep Guardiola there speaking about Antonio Conte and the victory over his Napoli side. Gents, we've had three nights of Champions League football, as is the new tradition in the new look league phase. We had it last year, so tough to pick out a standout performance of the week. I'm looking for club or player, and there have been loads, of course. Virgil van Dijk's late winner for Liverpool, but a glimpse, 2-0 down, 12 minutes to go, scored twice to get their point on their competition debut. But what has stood out for you, of course, on a night as well where Marcus Rashford has lit up the competition?
I love this competition. I love the return of this competition. I love the new format of the competition. And I would like to personally thank Juventus and Borussia Dortmund for bringing back the UEFA Champions League with the most special game you could imagine to see. The absolute carnage and mayhem of a 4-4 draw. It just brought everything home, and it's like the UEFA Champions League is back. It doesn't get any better than this. What a game, 4 apiece.
8 goals in the second half.
As well, yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah, crazy. I'm going to go for a game on Tuesday as well, actually. Karabag's win away at Benfica. Yeah. 2-0 down to become the first team from their nation to win a game in the competition proper. And as we've mentioned, 36 teams now in this first competition proper phase. Has opened up more avenues in qualifying for more nations. And I think we're seeing that. And then we're seeing the quality when they come into it. They compete. They're not just here anymore. They're off to a winning start, and you know, 2-0 down away from home at any level to win the game is remarkable. But
it's great, isn't
not
it?
Least in the Champions League.
It's great because we've seen how dangerous they've been in the Europa League the last few years. So you knew they were coming, and again, because of that experience they've gained in that competition, they've come up to the Champions League and yeah, we deserve to be here now. And what a way to start!
It's been a brilliant week, gents. Thank you very much. My thanks to Chris and John for rounding off the night and the week with me. A reminder, Matchday Live will be back on Tuesday the 30th of September with full live commentary from the pick of the games, Barca, Man City, Club Brugge, Frankfurt and Sporting amongst the winners on Thursday. Don't forget to download the official UEFA Champions League podcast shortly after every single match night of the competition this season. But for now, from me, Rob Daly, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to the official UEFA Champions League podcast.